Good morning, listeners. Today, we begin a study on the fruit of the Spirit, as found in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23, which tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This study focuses on each aspect of the fruit and will last the months of August and September. The aspects of the fruit of the Spirit advocated by Paul in Galatians 5 occur not only here but also elsewhere in Scripture. Most of the attributes stem from the character of God Himself. Self-control, however, which is the victory over sinful desires, is not a character of God because God does not and cannot sin. It is the indwelling Holy Spirit who produces these virtues in the life of the believer. Paul tells us that the Spirit produces fruit, not fruits, because these qualities come together as one cluster. The first on the list is love, not by accident, but by design. Everything else flows from love. Love will be the focus of our attention today. Some years ago, there was a song made popular by Jackie DeShannon. The first stanza went like this: "What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love, not just for some, but for everyone." This is still true today. The world does need love. But what is the source of this love? According to the Bible, the source of true love is God Himself, because God is love. And He wants to fill the hearts of each believer with His love through the Holy Spirit, so that we can become channels of His love to this love-starved world. In this message, we will learn three things about love. Love is fundamental. Love is the evidence of the Holy Spirit, and the love is action. So firstly, we learn that love is foundational. Just as a building needs a structurally sound foundation in order to withstand the forces that are arrayed against it, so is love to be the foundation to all relationships in order to overcome the pressures that may come upon it. In Matthew chapter 22, 37 to 40, Jesus tells us that the greatest commandment is to love God and to love our neighbors. Many persons say they love God, but find it difficult or even unwilling to love others. However, 1 John 4, 21 to 22 tells us that whoever does not love their brother and sister, whom they have seen, cannot love God, whom they have not seen. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. The love we must have for our brothers and sisters is a love that renders sacrificial, unmerited, and unconditional deeds to help a needy person. According to 1 John 4, 8 and 10, this is the kind of love that God demonstrated for us when He sent His Son to die as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Jesus commands us in John 13, 34, "As I have loved you, so you must love one another." The Holy Spirit's goal in our lives is to enable us to fulfill this command and produce this kind of love in us. He wants to produce love in us that gives unconditional, unmerited actions towards those in need, even to those who may hate us, even our enemies. In Matthew 5, 43 to 48, Jesus tells us, "You have heard that it was said, 'Love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven." Luke 6, 35 also says, "But love your enemies. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked." The classical example of this kind of love is the story Jesus told of the Good Samaritan in Luke 10:25-37, where the Samaritan man showed unmerited acts of kindness and generosity to a complete stranger in desperate need. And this man was a Jew. Jews and Samaritans did not like each other. The Holy Spirit wants each believer to be so filled with himself that when we face any situation that requires us to respond in love, we would do so willingly, even spontaneously. We would face every situation like how Jesus did, who never failed to extend love and compassion to whoever needed it. Love, then, is the defining mark of a true Christian. You can't fake the fruit of the Spirit. It grows when the Spirit lives in you. Secondly, we see that love is the true evidence of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life. Some persons think that the evidence that a believer is filled with the Spirit is the manifestations of the gifts. However, 1 Corinthians 13 warns that if we manifest gifts such as tongues, prophecies, mountain-moving faith, self-depraving kindness without love, then we gain nothing. The true evidence of the Spirit of God living in a believer is love. Romans 5:5 tells us that God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. This love is not just affection, but self-giving, sacrificial, unconditional, God kind of love. We are to have the kind of love that Jesus had, that even when he was on the cross, he could pray for his persecutors, "Father, forgive them." The world will know that the Spirit is in us, not by our gifts, but by love, according to John 13:35. Love in action. As we have indicated, love is visible. It's not just feelings, but action. As 1 John 3:18 states, "Let us not love with words or deeds, but with action and in truth." Here are some practical ways we can demonstrate love. Love the unlovable. When the opportunity comes to express the love of God to others, let's do so impartially. Let's give love to everyone, even to those we may think at first don't deserve it. Forgive freely. We should be the first to forgive. Forgiving sets our hearts free from anger and allows us to experience the blessings of God. Serve sacrificially. Jesus demonstrated his love for his disciples by adopting the posture of a servant and washed their feet. No task should be considered below our dignity to perform. And when we serve, we should be willing to do so with grace and humility without seeking recognition or reward. Speak kindly to others. Scripture says that our conversations should be always full of grace and seasoned with salt, so that we will know how to answer everyone. Spirit-empowered loving starts at home, continues in church, and spills over into the world. Spirit-filled believers become channels of God's love. The Spirit grows this fruit in us as we stay connected to Christ. We can't produce love on our own. It's his work in us. Let's pray for fresh surrender. Let every believer pray, "Lord, produce this fruit in me," starting with love. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for loving us first. Fill us with your Spirit so that love flows naturally from our lives. May our homes, our churches, and our communities see Christ through our love. In Jesus' name, amen. See you next week when we look at the fruit of the Spirit is joy.